So we just finished 1 Thessalonians, and we're starting up a new letter from Paul. And more than likely, there wasn't a lot of time between 1 and 2. You know, after the first letter, the Thessalonians, they were still going strong in their faith, in spite of the persecution, what did not let up. And actually, it was increasing. It was even getting worse day by day. Still, their love for each and one another was growing. However, there has to be a reason for this letter, right? Paul just didn't write a letter. He did. I mean, he cared about people, so he'd do it just to encourage, but there has to be a reason. Now, some in Thessalonica, they were misleading others. They were misleading them into thinking that the day of the Lord, or when Jesus returns, had already happened. It's already passed and gone. Paul even said, it'll happen like a thief in the night, and then there will be judgment upon the earth. So when things were getting worse and they were getting persecuted, people were scared. People got scared that they were left behind, that God forgot about them, that they didn't make the list. Some were teaching this in the churches, even in some cases saying, oh, Paul said this. Or they were using a fake letter and saying, oh, Paul wrote this down. This is a letter from him. In all this, what was happening is that there were some who were losing hope. There's others what quit their job, stopped working at anything and everything. They were thinking they don't need to work. The Lord's right here. The Lord's here at hand. We're just waiting for him. Now, the biggest problem with this is that the day of the Lord did not happen, and it hasn't happened yet. This fact changes the gospel. It may not have changed it a lot because they're still loving Jesus, and the day of the Lord is going to happen someday. But if we look at it for like the new believers, it changes quite a bit. It changes a lot of bit going into something. And the point is that it wasn't the true gospel message. Just a little bit change, it's not the true gospel message. When people are misled or jump to conclusions, the results can be bad. It could lead people down the wrong road. In Proverbs 25, verse 8, Jesse?
Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame?
So it's not about, it's about jumping, just like, and worrying and jumping to the worst case scenarios. Now, I remember a time in my younger days. Me and my friends were walking down Hollywood Boulevard. It was nighttime, and there was some, let's say, interesting people out. Even back then, there were interesting people. I can't even imagine today. But we noticed this crowd. And this crowd was around one guy. And so we were curious, right? Wouldn't you be curious? Maybe. You'd be curious. So we went up there, and we saw this guy, and he was playing a street game. Or at least it was called a street game back then. We were watching, and my friend got sucked into this idea that he could win at three-card Monty. Do you know what three-card Monty is? No. So it's been called a whole bunch of different games, but if you take three cards, if you take three cards, and one of them's the queen, And then there's two other cards. And then you flip them around, and then you try to follow the lady, and then you have to pick which one's the lady. Or they have a shell game. Or in this case, the M&M chase, right? So we have three containers, right? Empty, empty, and full, right? So what the idea is that you spin it around, and then you have to guess which one the M&Ms are at, right? So which one is that? Did you fall? This one? All right, so you're right. So we're just going to try to go a little faster. All right, which one is it at? This one? Not that one. Not that one. That one. All right. So, but that's all right, you know, because it's tricky. But so we'll go slow. Huh?
I was told.
All right. And then you could hesitate. And people are really good. All right. The middle one. All right. I have to tell you this one. All right. So we know it's not this one, right? You don't want to play anymore. Well, so what if it's this one? Or it's this one? Or it's this one? What did you say then?
Sounds like cheating.
It's kind of like cheating, right? Or there could be something there. So the thing is, my friend lost money, and he was very mad about it because he jumped into this case because it's a hustle. It's tricks. It's not true. You know, and basically, it's stealing, and I think that's why it's kind of illegal. You know, and most people figured it out, you know, there's something, there's a sleight of hand. I'm going to take this off. But I think con artists, and that's what they were, is they're con artists. They've kind of changed the games up. And maybe now it's like fake IRS calls to people. Yeah, I know. I put this on really quick. Do you want the M&Ms? Whoa. Oh. Yeah. And the point is, if something changes, we need to figure out the truth first. We can't just jump to that conclusion. We need to find out the truth first before moving forward. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 4, Michelle?
But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
I think that was it.
That's it? Okay. Oh, yeah. That's
four. Right? Yeah. So we don't know exactly in Thessalonians. That are in Thessalonica, you know, if people were misleading people on purpose, if they were getting something out of it, or like the attention, or if they really thought they were doing what's right. The Thessalonians had questions, right? They're like, oh, well, I don't know if it is this. Did it come or did it not come? Now, they needed to seek the truth about those questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. And this is why Paul penned the second letter. Paul started the letter out the same greeting as the first one. You know, who is from, you know, who it's to, and then Paul, always being the nice Paul that he is, Paul prays for grace and peace of God to be on the Thessalonians. And then we'll pick it up in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Stephen, can you read that? Persecutions.
Tribulation that you endure.
So the faithfulness of the Thessalonian church, you know, in persecution, because the church was so persecuted, this gave Paul reason to praise. You know, it could sound kind of weird. It sounds like, you know, Paul's not the nicest guy, right? He's not praising because they were persecuted. That'd be weird. Satan persecutes Christians in order to discourage or defeat them, right? That's not what Paul wants. The Thessalonians had experienced persecution and continued to grow. That's the important thing, is they continue to grow in Christ. Yeah, they had questions, and they weren't doing everything perfect, but that's our journey. That's our life that we're living, and we're always seeking to do better. We're always seeking God to know more, to follow Him better. Still, they were standing strong. And that's why Paul didn't feel like there was more than a choice to use them as an example for churches. He felt that he needed to tell others on how to stand strong in the face of persecution. Look at the Thessalonians. Look what they're doing. They could do it, and I know you guys can too. They're having such a hard time, and yet they're living a godly life. And then verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians. I get the long one. I should just. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Trials are not fun. Right? Now, trains are fun, but not trials. They test our faith. Now, if we want to think about this for a second, and if you focus on that bad, but let's perhaps that we never had a trial. We've never had any bad circumstances. You know, what do you think our faith would do if we had nothing bad ever happen? More likely, it'd probably stay the same, don't you think? It's like, okay, well, I have enough faith. Everything's going great. Your faith's going to either stay the same, it might shrink. I mean, there are some cases, maybe it'd grow, but typical, it would stay the same. if it's never tested. You know, it'll never grow. Paul tells the Thessalonians, your persecution is not because Jesus has forgotten you. It's because the devil knows you know Jesus and he doesn't like it. Now, God is a righteous and just judge, meaning he is going to punish those who sin. You know, with sin, there comes a punishment. And he's so righteous, he cannot not judge that. Now, we are, or at least I'm not perfect. I know Michelle tells me all the time, you're perfect, but I'm not perfect. And talking about judgment can be uncomfortable. Actually, in Acts 24:25, Paul was talking to a governor, Felix, and his wife Drusilla. You know, it was right after Paul got arrested, and the governor said, oh, well, my wife's Jewish, and I'll listen to Paul. I'll see what he has to say. And Paul was talking to him, and he was telling him everything what was happening and what was going to happen about judgment coming. And all of a sudden, Felix stops him, said, whoa. You know, what we could talk about this at a much more convenient time. He stopped him before he got to the good news. Felix was all worried about, well, I know what I've done, and I don't want to hear about that judgment. But the good news is if we know Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, he will be our advocate. Meaning he'll fight for us. He's kind of like the defense attorney in God's court, our courtroom, right? Jesus will speak on our behalf. He'll speak on our behalf and let God know, you know, hey, their punishment has already been paid in full. They don't need to pay it again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 10, I heard this was a long one, but Jesse, I know you have it in you.
Since it is a righteous thing of God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed.
So, who's Paul talking about? What do you think? He's talking to the Thessalonians, but he's talking about another group over there in Thessalonica, right? The ones what were persecuting them, right? Persecuting the Christians. You know, so he says, God's don't be, oh, they don't be fine, right? No, he's not. You know, those who are persecuting the Christians, let's just say that's not really the true Christian way to do things, right? We shouldn't be persecuting anybody like that. So he's saying that those people will be judged by God. And the thing is they're not going to have Jesus on their side. So unfortunately, if they don't change, it will be a scary, scary situation. And there will be harsh judgment passed down. In Luke 17, 1 and 2, Michelle?
And he said to the disciples,
than that he should offend one of these little ones. Yikes.
I'm sure you've heard it. So Jesus warns, he warns us that there will be people that stumble others. But woe to them. So do you, Jesse, do you know what a millstone is? Right, it is a big stone. What it was is, so back in the day, they didn't have all this machinery, so it's a big stone they roll around onto the we make shaft, and I don't know exactly how, but they're making grain, right? So they're crushing it all up. They what? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. You know exactly where you are. But can you imagine that big stone around your neck and somebody just like, hey, go swimming and push in, right? Bye-bye. What's going to happen? You're going to drown. 100% you're going to drown. There's no way of escape with that big stone around your neck, right? There's no escape. Just like there's no escape from God's judgment. You know, now with God's judgment, there's two options. You're either with Jesus or you're out Jesus, right? He's either on your side or he's not on your side. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12. Stephen? So Paul prays again. His prayer is a powerful thing. It gets us together, gets us closer. And he's praying for those to follow Jesus, to know Jesus more, to remain strong and steadfast. In spite of persecution, in spite of being lied to, he wants them to remain strong. He wants them to be counted worthy. You know, counted worthy. So when we are faithful and trust in the Lord, you know, that's when we're counted worthy. You know, it's a free gift of grace. It's not a hard thing. We could do it. Not letting people mislead us or believing in a lie, being distracted by words or sleight of hand, staying strong, and if we have questions, seeking the truth. Going out there and researching it and judging by the fruit that people have. And when we're talking about fruit, we're talking about you could tell if a fruit is good or bad. Same with people. You judge what they do, their actions. We don't want to get sucked in by their lies and their distractions. And actually, I know at First Hillers, Tony mentioned this, but I'm sure you've heard of Israel and everything what's happening over there. Is there was an account where Hamas, are fighting, they're part of the Palestinians. Hopefully you know this, but they're a terrorist organization. You know, they're actually doing terrorist acts. They're doing violence to try to change things. And one of their rockets went off course and bombed a hospital. Now, of course, the terrorists say, oh, no, that wasn't us. That was Israel. But then the media picked it up, and they started, oh, yeah, Israel bombed the hospital. and everybody was up in an uproar is because they didn't check the facts. They didn't seek the truth. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Jesse, can you go ahead and read that?
Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Now the world can be a scary time. You know, and we, in the day of the Lord is coming. And it seems like with all this stuff, it could be coming soon. It might tarry a little bit. We don't know, but we need to be prepared for whatever happens. We need to continually seeking the Lord. You know, but we're living here. We need to do His work here while we're still here. Knowing that God has not left us or never will leave us. He's with us wherever we go. You know, that gives us that light, what could be in a dark situation. God is always with us. Let's close in prayer.